Welcome to Current Issues, the radio show. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's probably the only network out there that is what we call free press. As you know, most of our press is not free. They have a lot of strings attached to those corporate that actually owns them. And the Republic Broadcasting Network has the only strings attached is to you, the listener. So we appreciate all the support that you can give to Republic Broadcasting Network. And tell all your friends about us. Believe we have a lot of good guests and hosts on the network. It's part of the truth movement that we are trying to get out there. So people will know the truth, since the mainstream media is basically covering exactly what the government wants them to cover, and in the way the government wants them to cover it. As you have seen leading up to the war on Iraq, the media basically were singing the same song as the government was. And, you know, Bill Moyer had, I really was very disappointed in his show on PBS on Wednesday. He said that he was going to discuss how the media covered the run-up to the Iraqi war. And I was hoping he would get into some real stuff, but he did not. It was basically the same old stuff. There was a little bit of substance to it, but not what I thought it would be. But, of course, you know, he could not really do probably what he needed to do and still have the publicity to his show that he did. So, to me, I think his show was went down the drain, in my opinion. In this second hour, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to one of the generals, or not one of the generals, he's a lieutenant commander, wrote an article about he's blaming the general's failure in Iraq, that our military generals did not do what they're supposed to do in Iraq by letting the Congress know exactly what was going on in Iraq, and that's why we are losing the war there. He's Lieutenant Colonel Paul Yingling. We will be talking about the article he wrote. But at first, we're going to be speaking with our own Dr. Kevin Barrett. As most of you know, he has the radio show right here on RBN called Jihad Radio. He is turning into a bounty hunter. Kevin Barrett is heading to Morocco to apprehend one of the suicide hijackers. Of course, you know how Kevin, when he writes, he's very interesting writing. And the way he presents his information is even more interesting than the information itself. When we come back, we will be, hopefully we'll be speaking with Kevin and see exactly what he wants to go to Morocco and do. So we will be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, the call-in number here is 800-313-9443. I'm waiting on Kevin to call in. According to Kevin, Dr. Barrett, there's strong evidence indicates that the accused hijackers, one of the hijackers who supposedly hijacked one of the airplanes on 9/11, Waleed al-Shehri, and Wael al-Shehri are indeed the sons of the Ahmed al-Shehri, who is a Saudi diplomat in Bombay, India. And one of Ahmed's sons is Waleed al-Shehri, who has been protesting his innocence from Casablanca in Morocco. Waleed says that, like the alleged 9/11 suicide jacker, hijacker, has a brother named Wael, who attended Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach, Florida, and that the picture that this supposedly suicide hijacker offered by the 9/11 Commission is indeed his picture. So this guy that 9/11 commissioners told us that he was one of the hijackers, he is live and well in Morocco. And as a matter of fact, Kevin Barrett tells us that he had visited, this Waleed, has visited the United States Embassy there in Morocco And told him that, hey, look, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm not the guy that you are saying I am. And, of course, you know, they're saying that it was mistaken identity. And, you know, Kevin's asserts that what are the odds that you would have two brothers named Waleed and Wael with the same last names and for them to be identical in looks and also to be, as a matter of fact, pilots. So we want to find out exactly what Kevin is up to now. You are used to Kevin coming up with all these crazy conspiracy ideas. Actually, he is the conspiracy professor. So let's go directly to Kevin to get the story right from the horse's mouth. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Okay, what are you up to now?
Well, I guess quite a few things. I just finished helping William Rodriguez do his Midwest tour, where he spoke in Chicago, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, and Peoria, Illinois last week. And that was a great success. We had a lot of big, excited audiences and got a bunch of mainstream coverage that was actually fair to William. So that was good. And then my next project is I'm heading off to Morocco this coming weekend in hopes of finding the hello.
Yeah, that's the project I have been telling the listeners about, that you headed to Morocco.
Yeah, I'm going next week, and I'm hoping to find one of the alleged suicide hijackers.
Okay, well, to tell me, I mean, nobody knew about this guy. I mean, this guy visited the U.S. embassy. And is he still there, and he's still saying that, look, I'm not the one?
Well, you know, the last I've heard of him, he was supposedly still in Casablanca a couple of years after 9/11, and since then the trail has gone kind of cold. There's been no mainstream reporting on him. The official line, of course, is that he's innocent, which he obviously is, but there's still these unexplained elements of the report, which, you know, he said that was his picture. He said he trained at that flight school in Daytona Beach, and that was his biography. And so there's a really deep mystery here about who this guy was. And, you know, it appears he was a patsy who was probably paid to play a role.
Well, if he is who you are asserting to be, he's probably dead by now.
Well, if that's true, then somebody in Casablanca who knew him would probably be in a position to tell us a little bit about how it happened. But I don't think that's the case. I suspect he probably has been silenced rather than killed, perhaps partly with threats as well as with rewards. If he were indeed being paid by the CIA to play a role, as most of the indications would have it, you know, part of the deal is he's supposed to keep quiet. So I don't think he probably wants to talk to the media any more than he already has.
So how do you think you will be able to find him? And do you think if you are going to go and look for him, why are you publicizing this? Wouldn't this kind of go against what you're trying to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if I try to sneak up on him, that might, you know, that would be one way to go about it. But, you know, I think the best thing we can do here is to try to get this information out in the open and interest a bunch of other journalists in this story, because I think that, you know, if I just sneak over there and don't tell anybody what I'm doing and try to track him down, number one, I'm more likely to end up in trouble, and number two, I think I'm actually less likely to succeed in the long run. I think publicity is our friend on this, and once everybody sees how interesting this story is, at that point it will eventually get told, whether I'm the guy who tells it or somebody else.
You're not concerned that this might be much bigger than you and I and everybody else?
Well, of course it is. Ever since I started doing 9/11 truth work, I realized that it was bigger than all of us, and that's why I'm doing it.
You're not afraid that something might happen to you in the process?
Well, that's something I had to face 3 years ago when I decided to start doing this in a big way. And I decided that it was more important to do the right thing on this particular issue than to worry about losing a year or two of life expectancy.
So do you really think that this guy is who he says or who he said he was or he is, and why wouldn't he just go to Al Jazeera and say, hey, I want to give you an interview? And also, if that's the case, why the mainstream media did not pick up on this story? I mean, this is a huge story, evidently. Why no one picked up on this?
Well, they picked up on it in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, and there are a number of stories on him. The BBC one is the most easy one to find on the Internet. But I think what happened after that probably was that the mainstream media was led down a different path. And I think this guy, you know, he may have gone to the U.S. Embassy in Rabat and then gotten on the BBC and other outlets and told his story immediately after 9/11 as a kind of life insurance, so that it would be less useful to disappear him. And at that point, perhaps he made an accommodation with somebody and he's gone about his business. But I don't think that's acceptable. I think we need to find out what really happened on September 11th. And these alleged hijackers, 10 of whom are still alive, are a major part of that.
Will you be doing any type of reporting or emails on your progress there in Morocco?
Yes, I hope to post some reports on my progress at the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth website, mujca.com. And if I find anything good in terms of, you know, some video footage, I'll try to upload that, maybe to send it to YouTube or 9/11 Blogger if possible. I'm not really good at that. I haven't done a whole lot of video work yet, but I think if I get anything, I'll want to get it out there as quickly as possible.
Well, if you get the video, believe me, you're not going to have a hard time putting it on YouTube or any of these services. There are a lot of services out there. Kevin, I just wanted to bring you on for a few minutes and so we can see exactly what Kevin is up to. And this is really probably the most dangerous project that you have undertaken.
Well, maybe, maybe not. If I go over here with all kinds of hoopla, and if I were to not come back, a lot of people would get very interested in that fact. You know, I do have a couple of books out also, including Truth Jihad, My Epic Struggle Against the 9/11 Big Lie, and they're just waiting for the kind of publicity that could happen if anything happened to me. So, you know, I think there are reasons why the bad guys would probably just as soon have me go over there and maybe not find Waleed, but still make it back alive. At least I assume that would be their motivation. But, you know, I'll trust in Allah, but try to tie my camel.
Why do you think the 9/11 Commission would make such a huge mistake of not, you know, taking this into consideration that this guy might still be alive? Why do you think they would make such a blunder?
Well, the 9/11 Commission report is basically the sole creation of Philip Zelikow. Now, Philip Zelikow is a historian who describes himself as a specialist in the creation and maintenance of public myths. He co-wrote an article in 1998 for Foreign Affairs speculating on the likely cultural and psychological effects of a massive new Pearl Harbor terrorist attack that would destroy the World Trade Center. That article was published in 1998. So Philip Zelikow, I'm almost certain, is somebody who was part of the brains behind the 9/11 operation. So the 9/11 Commission was completely controlled by this guy who did it, who was a perpetrator, who's probably planned the whole thing or contributed to planning it. And for that reason, the 9/11 Commission report is a complete, total cover-up. It avoided every single major issue that it could avoid, including the issue of the true identities of the patsies, the alleged hijackers. And it's important that we expose how awful this commission was because it was under the control of one of the likely perpetrators.
You come right after us on RBN. Who are you interviewing today?
Today I'm interviewing Mark Gaffney, who has done a lot of research on the mystery plane that was sighted in New York and Washington. Well, he's done more on the Washington angle, so he's a researcher on the aviation aspects of 9/11.
That would be interesting to hear. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thanks, Hisham. It was great. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Don't miss the second hour, or actually after us. with Kevin Barrett. Sounds like he will have an interesting show with Daphne. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
I found this company online and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to spend the rest of this hour talking about an article, and I would like to engage everyone out there. The number is 800-313-9443. The article was written by Lieutenant Colonel Paul Yingling, Y-I-N-G-L-I-N-G. He's the Deputy Commander, 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment. He has served two tours in Iraq, another in Bosnia, and a fourth in Operation Desert Storm. He holds a master's degree in political science from the University of Chicago. He published an article blaming the generals for the failure of the war, and he entitled this article, "A Failure in Generalship." Now, he's saying that for the second time in a generation, the United States faces the prospect of defeat at the hands of an insurgency. In April 1975, the United States fled the Republic of Vietnam abandoning our allies to their fate at the hands of North Vietnamese communists. In 2007, Iraq's grave and deteriorating condition offers diminishing hope for an American victory and portends risk of an even wider and more destructive regional war. You know, I'm not really sure when he says diminishing hope for an American victory, what is it? What was the objective of the war? If we can clearly define the objective of the war, we would probably get closer to defining what a victory might look like. Now, he's saying that armies do not fight wars. Nations fight wars. War is not a military activity conducted by soldiers, but rather a social activity that involves entire nations. I agree with him that armies do not fight wars. Nations fight wars. And the majority of people in our nation were for the war, but calling it rather a social activity that involves entire nations, I disagree with that, because the majority of the nation right now is saying no to war and have been saying no to war or has been saying no to war. And he is blaming the generals for not telling the truth about what it takes to have a victory in Iraq. I disagree with him totally. As you know, hundreds of officers have spoken, generals have spoken out and said the equipment, the arm and equipment that are needed to conduct a war of this magnitude is not even close to what you, the government, the leaders, the political leaders, have allowed us to have. And I really think that it is not this lieutenant colonel blaming it on the generals. I agree. A lot of generals out there should not be there if they believe that they are fighting a losing war. I think they should pack their bags and come home, and they should not be putting their our sons and daughters in harm's way if they know that this is a losing battle. But a lot of generals did tell the Congress of the United States that we don't have enough people, we don't have enough equipment, and a lot of these officers were, let's say, relieved for other opportunities. They were taken out of the army. They were either sent somewhere, given a desk job somewhere in Alaska, or they were forced to go on early retirement. So I really believe, in defense of the generals, that the generals did speak, but the nation was not listening. And again, for this lieutenant colonel to write an article blaming the generals for, it's not really accurate, because, you know, why would he, you know, he was, if you go on to complain about something, you need to stand up and be counted. This lieutenant colonel served two tours in Iraq. I think he should have done what Lieutenant Aaron Watada did, is refused to go. And I think he would have made a much, much larger and much bigger impact on the nation if he would have stood up and became counted, as many others who stood up and were counted as officers who disagreed with this war. And, you know, one of them should be David Petraeus, our top general in Iraq, instead of saying that he needed more of our boys and girls to go there. I think he should have said, we can't do it. We'll continue this with your phone calls, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Back, ladies, are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are talking about an article that was written by Lieutenant Colonel Paul Yingling, who is blaming the generals for the problems we are having in Iraq, even though he spent two tours. In Iraq, and I believe his unit had a presidential citation for their effort in securing the Al-Anbar area, I believe. And, you know, the generals did say from the beginning that we don't have enough people. They estimated back in 1998, when CENTCOM, the United States Central Command, estimated that a war with Iraq would take at least 380,000 troops would be necessary for the invasion of Iraq. And one study actually went up to say we need about 500,000 people, which probably would have been more, in my personal opinion, even half a million would have been probably just about right. If not, probably we still need more than that. But we only sent 115,000 to invade and control the area or the country of Iraq. Of course, now we are finding out that that was not even close to what we needed. And so the generals did say that we need more people, but if you remember Donald Rumsfeld, he said that, and of course also you remember George Bush on the on that carrier when he said the end of hostilities in Iraq. Think that was the beginning of hostilities in Iraq. And so it was more the political arm of our nation that either deceit or lied to the country, because you know, political leaders should listen to generals in the field, and they did not. And generals in the field, even though, you know, they owe it to this nation, that if you are sent out there to do a job, but you are not given the required equipment and required number of troops, then I think you owe it to the country to stand up and say, no, I'm not going. And I don't know how you feel about this. Are generals there just to obey orders that are given and take these newlyweds, and some of them who were not even married, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds who are just starting out in life, take them to a battlefield to die? And so it's a big mess. It's really a big mess, and I think it's not the the military has – the only thing I blame the military for is they should not have gone. They should have just said, look, you're sending us on a suicide mission and we're not going. And I think it would have been a totally different story. But, you know, a couple of months ago, David Petraeus went at the surge and troop surge. And the president gave him the troop surge. And a week later, he asked for another 4,000, and we gave him another 4,000. But that is far less. And right now, if we would have given, if we would have sent 200, 300,000 people, of course, I'm not really sure if we even had that number of people to give. I really think this whole thing, we should not have entered into it from the beginning, because it was definitely a trap for us. And it was a trap because we, after the fall of the Soviet Union, we basically were the strongest country in the world and the leader of the world. And I think we should have kept it at that, but yet they drew us into this battle to basically expose who we are. And it turned out that we can probably bomb the heck out of the whole world and destroy it, but when it comes to sending people on the ground, that we really lack the capability of planning. And that goes not on the military side, but on the political side, that said to the generals, no, you're wrong. We know how much it's going to take, and this is the only thing you're going to take. So it is definitely a huge problem for us now, because if we leave Iraq now, you know, of course, we're not ready to send more troops. That is out of the question. That's what's needed. We need to send half a million people, but we don't have half a million people to send. It's a job that takes half a million people on the ground to get to this stability that we want in Iraq. But it's not going to happen, because right now, the people that are fighting us now, they're probably 10 times more than the people who were fighting us when we first went in there. But when we sent only troops to secure Baghdad, you know, what about the rest of the country? The resistance was able to bring in people, bring in supplies, bring in all kind of ways to resist us for the last 5 years. And that's why we are in the shape that we are in now. It's too late. It's really too late. And if we leave now, it is definitely a defeat. And it's not just coming back from Iraq. That's not the issue here. The issue here, what is the future of our leadership in the world? Definitely, I said earlier that they trapped us. And when I say they, these forces in the world that are against American being or America being the leader of the world, the supreme leader of the world. And these, by the way, these forces are from within the United States, the neocons, who in probably in collaboration with other forces in the world basically wanted to bring us down. That's, in my opinion, exactly what is happening to us. Is not just Iraq is not really the issue here. It's what's going to happen after Iraq. Will we be able to do anything else in the world that we want to do? Because definitely China is sitting out there laughing. India is doing the same thing. Russia is doing the same thing. All these forces that they did not agree with us going to Iraq, but they did not put up a resistance, really. You know, if you remember when we went to the United Nations and Colin Powell was showing the United Nations Security Council the pictures of these mobile labs, supposedly weapons of mass destruction labs that were in Iraq, and behind him was George Tenet sitting there to basically give the American people more than the other people in the world, because other people in the world knew that Iraq could not even feed its own citizens. They lost 500,000 within 12 years of sanctions, United Nations and United States sanctions against Iraq. They lost 500,000 children due to malnutrition and lack of medicine. And so people in the world knew that Iraq was not capable of being a threat of any kind to the United States. But of course, you know, with George Tenet sitting behind Colin Powell in that meeting, gave the impression that, at least to our own people and political leaders, that the CIA had some information on this and they are supporting Colin Powell, who at the end, Colin Powell was, and he apologized for showing these because they were fake. And he acknowledged that the biggest mistake of his life that he made is when he went to the Security Council, the United Nations Security Council, and showed those pictures of mobile chemical lab units. And, of course, now we have George Tenet is coming out with a book basically saying all the things that he needed to say when he was in power about the mistakes and about what was going on in the government back then. You know, they got him on, they always kept saying and repeating that George Tenet, who was the CIA director at that time, that he said it was a slam dunk in as far as proving that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. In his book now, he is saying that that particular phrase, slam dunk, is what actually made him write the book, because that those two words were taken out of context. That the conversation was in the Oval Office about how can we convince our people, convince the population that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, and George Tenet said, "Oh, that would be a slam dunk," referring to that it would be easy to convince the American population or the American people that that the war in Iraq or Saddam having weapons of mass destruction and the need for us to go and attack Iraq and remove Saddam, that it was a slam dunk. He was talking about convincing the American people of the need to go to war. He was not saying that finding weapons of mass destruction in Iraq was a slam dunk, and that's what they got George Tenet on. You know, George Tenet, you know, this, I hate these kiss and tell books because it's too late. You should have George Tenet, you should have stood up at that time and clarified your position instead of 2 years later writing a book and saying the thing, because it doesn't really matter. Your opinion right now, it does not matter. Most of the people in the United States know that the president lied, know that Dick Cheney lied, know that you lied. You should not have been sitting behind Colin Powell at that security United Nations security meeting to give credibility to Colin Powell's report, that fake report that he showed us and the world. So you, George Tenet, need to be one of those people who should be put on trial for deceiving and deceiving our country into going to war against a sovereign country that did not mean us no harm, that we caused over 750,000 dead in that country, wrecked that whole country upside down. And God knows how long it will take and how many people would have to lose their lives because you, George Tenet, Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, the president, lied about what was happening. Just imagine, you know, George Tenet received a congressional, I think, Medal of Honor or presidential citation of some sort. I think he should have taken that medal and threw it in the face of whoever was giving it to him, because definitely, definitely he did not deserve any medals. And if he would have done that, he would be the hero for the American people. He probably would be running for president now if he would have done what he's supposed to do, and if he would have done and told the American people what was happening back then instead of trying to capitalize on a book that he wrote telling what was going on back then. It doesn't matter now. It's too late. A lot of people died, George, and both George Tenet and George Bush. A lot of people died, so it's too late. Your kiss and tell book, it's humiliating for our nation that people can't stand up when they are in position of power and when they are in positions to really affect and change the way the war was going. You would have saved a lot of lives, George, if you would have done the right thing. And the right thing is to be like those generals who decided to speak out and say, we're not going. This is a war that we will not win, and this is a war that will end up killing a lot of our people and destroying our reputation in the world, because that's exactly what this war has done to us, is destroyed our reputation as the leader. We can no longer claim that position anymore. And if we would not have went to war against Iraq, we would still be the loved country where a lot of people wants to come to live because of our ideals. Now you have destroyed all these ideals. You have destroyed the country. It took over 200 years to build the reputation that we were able to build and be the a leader, a real leader in the world. But with you and your kind, who are too cowards to stand up and say, I'm out of here. No, you continued in your position and you continued to sing the same song and dance as was the president and as was Paul Wolfowitz. And, you know, Colin Powell is in the same boat, because he should have done something when he said, after he left office, when he decided not to accept the position again as Secretary of State in the second Bush administration. He should have stood up and said, this is wrong, instead of saying that it was that the government was packed with the Gensa crowd, that is the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, which basically the our administration was packed with these people who are the neocons with a lot of relationships with the Bilderberg group, who basically runs the whole world when it comes to the world of money, politics, and industry. And these people were very deep into that particular group and very deep with Zionists and Zionism. So to whose benefit was this war against Iraq is the real question. And I really do believe that the American people, before it is too late, they need to stand up and be counted. Let's not lay down and act dead. Because it's not going to happen. If we fake death, we definitely will be dead. We have a lot to do in this country. We must bring this country back into the position of leadership. We must bring – this is not us. This is not the American people who had done this. And definitely one thing that I agree with Lieutenant Colonel Paul Yingling, that it is a social activity. War is a social activity, and it's about time we get involved with this. We will be back in a couple of seconds, ladies and gentlemen, to finish this hour. We'll see you.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our web banner for the address. PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the remaining moments that we have on this week's show, Just wanted to let you know what's coming up on the TV show on Tuesday. And you can catch Current Issues TV at www.currentissues.tv every Tuesday evening from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Central Time. And this Tuesday, my guest will be Joseph Serencioni, or Serencioni. He is the Senior Vice President with National Security and International Policy at the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., and he is also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. That would be an interesting program. We're going to be talking about nuclear bombs in Iran, et cetera, et cetera. He authored a new book. It's called The Bomb Scare, The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons. That would be an interesting show. But to wrap up what I was talking about earlier, I think it's all in your hands. Right now, it is not a military solution. It's a social solution. The problem now is not Iraq. It's the United States. What's going to happen to us economically, politically, socially? Definitely, things are not looking too good for us. And as long as the majority of us are not getting up and doing something about it, nothing will be done about it. The country needs your help. The government needs your help because they can't do it. They have proven to be a failure in almost every aspect. Now, you know, if we did not go to war with Iraq, what are the issues that this administration would have had blundered for us? You know, right now, the concentration of the country for the last 6 years have been the war in Iraq. So what would the Bush administration be without a war in Iraq? And, you know, it's like your son or daughter goes out there and destroys something, and the question is, what are you going to do about it? You know, definitely your son or daughter is not capable of fixing it himself, so you're going to have to step in and fix the problem yourself. And that's basically what it boils down to. Now it's in your lab. It's in your court as the people, because right now it is a social problem. The war is not a military problem anymore because we know we can't do much militarily in Iraq. And we see what's going on with Iran. I doubt if we are going to be doing anything in Iran because we just can't. We just practically, and for all intents and purposes, we just can't do much when it comes to what the Iranians are doing. And, you know, is that what the Iranians are doing, is that a real threat, or is that another threat, a faked threat that the neocons wanted to drag yet the United States back into more and more wars? Anyhow, I am finished for the day, so we will see you all next Saturday on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go do the right thing. Good night and goodbye.